This is the NCARB podcast, where you get an inside look at licensure, regulation, and the initiatives shaping the future of architectural practice. I'm your host, Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communications at NCARB. And this season, we're diving into Pathways to Practice, NCARB's multi-year effort to rethink how architects become licensed.
Architecture is the hardware to the software of life, right? It is fundamentally about that interaction, and it makes life easier if we have a built environment that works.
Across 8 episodes, we'll explore how licensure got to where it is today and where it needs to go next. We talk with architects, educators, regulators, and NCARB leaders about education, experience, and the exam, and why each of those pillars is evolving.
And that portion of school where you go from conceptual to real is also really challenging. It's not something you're really gently moved into. It's kind of like you're doing something that's flowy and crazy, and all of a sudden, wait, you actually have to make this work.
You'll hear how the NCARB competency standard was developed, how research is shaping future licensure models, and what a more flexible, competency-based approach could mean for candidates from a wide range of backgrounds.
So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed holds steady.
We also tackle the big questions. Why does licensure look the way it does today? Where do candidates face the biggest barriers? And how can we expand access without lowering standards?
Not everybody fits into the same mold. And so having different pathways to licensure, I think, is really important.
Whether you're a licensure candidate, an educator, a firm leader, or a regulator, this season offers clarity, context, and transparency into one of the most important conversations facing the profession.
Does this requirement to complete all divisions of the exam place an unfair burden on any one group or other?
This is Pathways to Practice, only on the NCARB podcast. Please follow the link in the show notes, subscribe now, and join us as we explore the future of architectural licensure.
My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Today's guest is Andy McIntyre, Vice President of Marketing and Communication at NCARB. Since joining the organization in 2014, Andy has been the driving force behind NCARB's mission to share key insights and engage with the profession in meaningful ways. Originally from the UK, Andy brings over a decade of experience in branding, digital strategy, and communications to this role. Today, on this special episode of Entree Architect Podcast, we're diving into NCARB by the Numbers, the organization's annual data report, and their exciting new podcast series, Inside NCARB by the Numbers, produced by our friends at Gable Media. Andy McIntyre, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Well, thank you, Mark, and thank you for the invitation to join you today. Appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to this. I'm excited about the report. I'm excited about the podcast because everybody knows here that Gable Media is a friend of Entree Architects. I'm a partner at Gable Media as well as Entree Architect. And so I'm excited about this podcast, but I want to dive deeper into the report. I want to dive into the podcast. Throughout this episode, we're going to learn all about the report. But before we do that, I want to know more about you. I want to have a little bit of context around you, your role as VP of Marketing and Communication. What's your job there? What do you do, and when did you start doing it?
Well, I joined NCARB in 2014, as you mentioned. I've had my current role since 2016, so I was quite lucky. I sort of joined, and then the opportunity to put my name in the hat for the Vice President of the Marketing Communications team happened, and I was lucky enough to be selected for that role. Just context for anyone who probably knows of NCARB, but we have 100 staff and we have a marketing communications team of 10, including myself. And one of the things I really appreciate about our role at NCARB is we're a pretty full service team, and the organization is invested in having full range of sort of marketing communication function internally. And that means sort of graphic design, videography. And the reason that I think that's the case is because what we do is quite unique, we're a specific organization with a very specific remit. And we know that what we talk about is sort of sometimes inside baseball, it's very specific to us, but it helps us to have that function internally so that we can talk knowledgeably about our programs. There's often a lot of nuance with the licensure path, and we want to be able to communicate it clearly and effectively to a range of different sort of audiences that are connecting with us.
I've been in the profession for a long time, too many years to remember how many. I'm a licensed architect, a member of NCARB, registered NCARB member. I've seen in the last few years, and I've only met you a year or so ago, I've seen a change at NCARB and the work that you and your team are doing now that I have met you all. I've seen a change in that communication effort from NCARB. And so thank you for that, first of all. I appreciate the extra effort in communicating what NCARB is and what NCARB does, especially with the report NCARB by the Numbers. It's an excellent report. Can you talk a little bit, for anyone who doesn't know NCARB, what is NCARB? And sort of let's drive out a little bit wider. What's the role of NCARB in the profession?
So it's a great question, because in life, I get asked this a lot. You know, what do you do? Who do you work for? Because I am not an architect, just for the record.
Right.
I used to work in tourism and then moved to DC from the UK in 2014. And soon after that, joined NCARB in the marketing communications space. So I find myself answering that question fairly regularly. My very layman's answer is we're kind of like the bar for architects, because people are more familiar with the lawyer professional exam.
Right.
But for everyone's knowledge, NCARB, and I have to explain the acronym. Let's get that out of the way, Mark. So we are the National Council of Architectural Registration Boards. Our members are the 55 regulatory licensing boards across the 50 US states, and there's five additional jurisdictions that are part of our membership: DC, Guam, Puerto Rico, US Virgin Islands, Northern Marianas Islands. I think that's it. And we were founded in 1919, mainly to help create efficiency in the licensure space. So basically all those states said, hey, it doesn't make any sense for us all each to do our own licensure process. Let's create an organization that can do this collectively on our behalf. NCARB was founded in 1919 to start supporting that, and also to help reciprocity between states. Because I think architects specifically, reciprocity is really important. Often an architect will follow a client. So you might have a, let's say you're working for, I don't know, high street chain, and they say, hey, we're opening 3 new stores in Tennessee next year. Can you help us? Well, an architect doesn't want to be limited to say, you know, say, no, I can't. I'm not licensed in that state. So I think reciprocity generally for architects is pretty common and something that's valuable. So that's the two things we do. We manage the licensure process, and we also support reciprocity through our certification program. But we are affectionately known as NCARB because the acronym is a bit of a tongue twister.
Yes.
So how we refer to ourselves too.
Yeah. And that's another piece that I've experienced. I've experienced reciprocity from New York to North Carolina when I moved in 2019. It was a very easy process. Actually, it was much easier than getting my license in the first place. And that, from what I understand, has also gotten not easier to get your license, but the process of becoming licensed has become much more efficient and flows much better, easier to understand from the things that I'm learning, the things that I read in NCARB by the Numbers. You guys have been working hard at making licensure easier to, again, not easier to become an architect, but the process of becoming an architect is a much more efficient, much more understandable process now.
Just to sort of, I guess, elaborate on that a little bit. You know, I think when you're in the business of being sort of in a regulatory organization, people's expectations is that you're kind of a gatekeeper and that you're there to stop or make it difficult. Right. And
right.
There's an element of like, you need to make sure people are qualified, but the way we do it and the sort of tone we do it in, you know, we're very conscious of trying to be sort of a friendly support. We want people to be successful in their licensure journey, right? We genuinely mean that. So I think from a communications perspective, our tone, our approach to sharing information really tries to be helpful and be supportive and be friendly. I think that's sort of a mantra that we have. Whether we always get it done like that, who knows, but it's certainly the intent that we have in the team. So I'll say on behalf of the team, and I have some great colleagues at NCARB, and a huge part of why I've stayed there, why I've been there for 10 years. You know, they do some great, great work, and I really appreciate and certainly make my life easy. So I really appreciate them. So on their behalf, I'll say thank you for your earlier comment about noticing that our comms have been on a positive trajectory in recent times.
Yeah, I could tell you guys are working hard over there. Let's dive into the report. The report is called NCARB by the Numbers. I know that you've published this publication several times before. The most recent one is the 2024 report. Can you just give us a little bit of history on the report, why it's created, what's the intent?
Yeah, so we have a unique position in terms of having sort of eyes on the path to licensure and the community of people who are working to become licensed. And that gives us an authoritative sort of position in terms of being able to report data and share information and share insights. And NCARB by the Numbers has actually been going for about 10 years now. I think 2012, 2013 was the first edition. So we're probably coming up to edition 11 or 12. When we think about sort of the licensure path, we often hear stories, and you can hear a story about someone who did it really fast, or you can hear a story about someone who had a real problem or had a real impasse. And we hear those stories too. The value of looking, really digging into our data, though, is to really understand in the aggregate what's happening, because we want to not just share information with the profession, we want to inform ourselves as to what's working, what's not, what's the trend lines, because that can help informers make informed decisions about our programs and how they evolve. So we started publishing, it started in 2012, I think, was the first. And it's been every year we've done this. We do a calendar year sort of data set and provide insight into a number of the areas, on certainly focusing on the path to licensure, so how many candidates are in the pool, how they're progressing, what the exam sort of pass rates have been in the last 12 months, and then some information about the number of architects in the US. I think that's something, that's a data point that a lot of people are interested in, is like, is the profession growing? Is it shrinking? You know, what's the trajectory for the profession as a whole? Like, what's, it's a bit of a health check there on that. And it evolves every year. We sit down and sort of say, anything else we want to add? Have we got any new areas we want to explore within our data? I think a big one for us was what we call our sort of attrition data set, which is where we really started looking back in, I think 2017 or 2018, started looking at how different demographic groups were progressing to licensure and what impediments they were facing, and when, if there were certain bottlenecks where they fell off the path or we lost certain people as they headed towards licensure. And that was really helpful, I think, in forming some internal conversations for us around our programs. So I think some of the changes that you talked about or referred to,
yeah,
really have their origins in some of our, in NCARB by the Numbers, and some of the data that we've been able to share.
I know you hear a report about data, often you'll think, well, boring, but it's not. Actually, the report and the podcast, but the report's very interesting. So anybody who is interested in architecture as a profession, it is a document you should go look. Whether you're like trying to get your license or you've been licensed for 25 years, the data that's in this report is very interesting to understand how many architects there are, how they're getting licensed. There's lots of information in there for everybody. Are there specific key highlights in this report in 2024? Anything interesting that's trending or that might be new in 2024?
In 2024, I think that a lot of our focus was on exam pass rates and seeing an uptick in exam pass rates in the 2023 data set. One of the things we had done back in midway through, I think 2022 or maybe three, time flies, is we launched a series of practice exams. And that was basically in response to the fact that we had evidence that, you know, almost the first exam, people, it was almost like an orientation for people. So we said, let's put together a free suite of practice exams to allow people to sort of really have a good simulation of what the exam experience is going to be like before they get into the actual test center. And that can either reassure them, give them confidence, or it might say, hey, I'm not ready for this. I need to do some more study, more prep. And the data we've had on that, the impact of those practice exams really has been probably the most significant sort of, I'd say, change agent in terms of the data set. So if you are a candidate and you're thinking, taking the ARE, the architect registration exam, any of those six divisions, you should take the practice exam, because the individual that do take it have an average 15 percentage point better chance of passing the exam than those that don't.
Significant.
And that's really stark. And I will say, an organization like ours, we track these trends. A lot of them are fairly slow moving. So they move maybe a percentage point here each year. They're not leaping around. They're not super dramatic charts. It's kind of steady progress is what we typically see. So for us to see something we do that has that kind of dramatic impact is exciting for us that we did that and it had a positive impact for people.
The report is interesting. The podcast is very entertaining as well as interesting. It's not just Andy sitting there reading the data. It is an entertaining, story-filled podcast. And you talked earlier about the report and some of the work that you do in marketing and communication is you're telling stories, right? You're not just get out there publishing the numbers and talking about the numbers. You're sharing stories. And that's what we're doing at the podcast as well. Can you talk a little bit about the podcast? It's out now and there's several episodes been published and it's very entertaining. So can you talk about the podcast and what the intent is behind the podcast?
Yeah. So I'm just going to share another data point that's one that we sort of have a love-hate relationship with, which is the average time to licensure, which is frustratingly always about 13 and a bit years. And it feels like such an awful number. It's like 13 years. Now, we're taking that from the start of college. And the reason we have this love-hate relationship with that number is because we kind of hope that programmatic change and things that we do to make it easier are actually going to compress that. And that over time, we're going to see changes that we make manifest in that number. But equally, a big part of what we're doing from a programmatic perspective is trying to open up pathways, shall we say, to non-traditional candidates. And when I say non-traditional, I mean people who are very focused on, I went to school, I joined a firm, I did the experience program, a very kind of linear track. And there's a lot of people in the profession who maybe didn't get licensed shortly out of college, but they've been in a firm, they've been working in the profession for a long time. Maybe it's a firm succession planning issue. They didn't need it, but now they're thinking of doing it. And suddenly you'll get someone who says, I've been working in architecture for 20 plus years, but it's time for me to get my license and I want to do that now. So that's great. And we've re-educated ourselves around a data point like that and saying it's not as simple as just forcing it in one direction. And it's that kind of nuance around sort of the different facets and the different experiences and individual experiences that are contributing to a big aggregate data set that we wanted to explore. And anytime you're talking about something that's deeper than a sort of headline, you run into this challenge of, well, how do you convey nuance? How do you share these sort of intricacies or just unpick them a little bit? And traditionally, organizations like ours would do like a white paper or a big report. And don't get me wrong, if you go to NCAR by the numbers, we do a printed version, small.
Plenty of white papers.
Our membership, And it, you know, there's a certain mindset and a certain type of person's or focus that you need to be able to sort of really digest that. And I think what we want to do, and this is a general rule of thumb from a communication perspective, is you want to meet people where they are and you want to acknowledge that different people have different preferences when it comes to digesting information. So our interest in doing the podcast was really saying, there's some depth here that we want to unpick. It's not as simple as doing a headline. We want to have a little bit more content around it. So maybe a podcast is a good experiment for us to try to see if it's a good vehicle for that kind of content. And I personally like listening to podcasts myself. So there's always, maybe there's a little bit of personal biases there, me saying, I quite like that way of digesting information. Let's try it. Maybe there's people out there who would appreciate it too. So yeah, that was the sort of origins, but it was a fun project to do. And I think that we hope people listen to it and give us feedback. And I mean that, like, let us know. What did you like? What did you not? What questions would you have? Because we started with NCAR by the numbers, but maybe we'll evolve that into some other content areas or other topics down the road if there's an audience for it.
So with NCAR by the numbers, the podcast is called Inside NCAR by the numbers. If you're looking for it, you can just search your podcast player for Inside NCAR by the numbers and you'll find it. You could also find it at gablemedia.com/podcasts. It's there as well. But the podcast episode one talks about exactly what you're talking about, the path to licensure in the 13 years. And you talk to two different people who one did it in less than a year, right? The entire licensing exam, went through the entire thing in less than
a year. They did the exam in less than a year,
I think. I'm sorry. Yeah, you couldn't possibly
do
that.
They were fast. They weren't that fast, but they were pretty quick.
Right. They went through school and did the exam in 1 year. No.
Yeah, I think they were licensed at 23.
Yeah, very quick. So come out of school, took the exam, licensed architect.
So in the moment, there was no life. I was studying for like at least 3 to 4 hours a day on the weekdays. And on the weekends, I'd study for like 6 to 8 hours minimum. I'm not a really good test taker. And so I just knew for me, that's what it required. But as far as my work environment goes, I don't have enough wonderful things to say about my boss. He's so supportive. I had some problems with like the NCARB test, and he like called up to NCARB on my behalf and was like helping me. The firm that I work for, SSNL Architects, they'll pay for the test, whether you pass or fail. So it doesn't discourage you from taking it for fear of failing. He's constantly on me to like submit your experience hours. Oh, do you have experience in this category? Oh, let's get you some experience in that. And he taught me to be proactive and like come to him and say, hey, Mr. Jimmy, I need some more hours in construction evaluation. Can you help me with that? And he would like bend over backwards to help me do that. So I'm very, very thankful for him.
And then you spoke to another person who came out of school, ended up, I think she became a stay-at-home mom. Then she decided to go back to work and did some work and then realized that the license was going to help her with the work that she's doing, and tells that story. And that it took her, I don't know, 15, 20 years to get the license.
When I got out of architecture school, I was disappointed. Architecture school is dynamic and it's fun. You're designing, you're reading, you're thinking about all the great things you were going to do. But at least for me, I'm sure not for all, but for me, when I got out, it was just grinding. It was just all the practical stuff, the codes and the permitting and drawings. And it was sort of a letdown. All the excitement was sort of blown out of the bubble. And then I was excited about having children and staying home and being a mom and teaching them to read and jump and run.
And so you share both sides and both stories. And those stories are really powerful to understand that there are people who are like the one person who did it very quickly, and then other people. And then there's thousands of in-betweens, right? And to be able to tell those stories and to be able to relate to those stories is a really powerful tool and very entertaining, because you're telling stories, right? These people are telling stories. You're helping to tell those stories.
Yeah, that's something I think that storytelling piece and the humanization is something that we hadn't got to with the report itself. So we've been talking about, it's been a great vehicle for us, but we're always talking about it in the aggregate. And I think that we realize that hides the realities of the individual stories and the individual effort and work that goes into getting a license. So that was sort of our format for the series. That's a 6-part series. And we had one or two individuals join us and tell their story related to a particular data point or a particular area of the report that we were working in to help us humanize it. And yeah, I mean, I enjoyed talking to those individuals. Actually, I don't think any of them I'd spoken to prior to sort of jumping on that podcast. So it was, podcast aside, it was really nice to hear their experiences and journeys.
Yeah. To be able to hear stories like that, it brings the data alive, right? The data is very interesting, right? Like I said before, the report is very interesting to just read and understand how those numbers work and how they impact the profession. But then when you hear real stories of how that data impacted those people, it really does bring it alive.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here thinking about sort of some of the other data points or data sets in there. Another topic is that we talk about the aggregate, this question about how many architects are there, the size of the architect community. And another episode we talked about was dug in a little bit to this retirement conversation.
Yes.
The fact that the architect population does skew towards the seasoned practitioner. So about a third of current licensees are over 55. I think 13% are over 65. So, you know, what does that mean? I think the profession's been just holding its breath, waiting for this fall off the cliff of the sort of the boomer retirement. It's been talking about it for the last decade,
right?
And it hasn't really happened. And we're really interested in that aspect too.
We see about 13% of licensed architects in 2023 were over the age of 65. So they're past retirement age in the United States. but they're still holding on. And 13% is a pretty big cohort of the architect population. But we have seen a drop in the number of reciprocal licenses. So those people might be holding on to, say, one license wherever they're, maybe their home state, wherever they're living, if they're still practicing a little bit around town or whatever. But they're letting go of maybe some of the additional out-of-state licenses that they might have had back in their heyday of practice. So we've seen that in our data as the number of reciprocal licenses starts to decrease a little bit, but that number of individuals who are licensed.
The pipeline from schools seems to have been pretty stable. A little bit of a impact from maybe COVID for a year or two there, but typically seeing 6,500 graduates coming out of our programs, we typically have about 3,700, 4,000 people becoming licensed each year. So that's your sort of pipeline in, but there's this question mark about obviously what's the total population. And in 2023, it was 121,000 architects in the US. And that hasn't really changed a whole lot. It certainly hasn't fallen. So fairly stable. So if there's people out there who think it's all doom and gloom and the profession's collapsing, not in our data, it isn't. I'll say that.
I've seen, and through talking on the podcast here with many different people, that there's also a trend of architects becoming licensed, but then not doing traditional architecture, right? Not designing buildings in an architecture studio, but doing other things with that license. Do you track data that follows that information as well? How many people might be doing similar things that, like that, or not practicing traditionally once they're licensed?
You know, it's a really interesting question for me, that, because to be an architect is a generalist license. So the conversation about specializations within the profession and how, when they fit in, is an ongoing conversation, let's say. Yeah. So for example, you could be working in a firm, maybe it's a very big firm, maybe you're quite a specialist, and maybe that early specialization is career helpful, but not necessarily licensure helpful, because you're still wanting to, if you want to become a licensed architect, you need to have this sort of general awareness. And I think it comes back to this quite old school sentiment of, you know, it means you can put up your name on a shop and say, I'm an architect, I can build any building. It's fundamentally the legal premise that you're entering into. And anyone in reality would say, well, that's not really how it works. I'll say one of the big things for us, this isn't specific to NCARB by the numbers, but in October of last year, NCARB released a competency standard, published a new competency standard, which is the outcome of several years of work and research around what you need to know to be a licensed architect, and maybe some of the highfalutin stuff that we were asking people to assess on that they never would ever use doesn't need to be there, but we need to be what are really the core competences for the profession. So that was a big publication. We'll be trying to weave into that, how we plug that into NCARB by the numbers as we move forward, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think the profession is evolving, right? And we're witnessing a significant shift in architecture. We have technology that is rapidly changing the way we practice, the type of work we do, how we do it. It also gives us, there's many architects who are very fearful of some of that technology, especially AI, that it's going to replace architects and that architecture as a profession is going to go away. I'm not one of those people. I believe that people always want to work with people and AI is a tool. But the changes that we're seeing are rapid. And I believe as an architect, as a licensed architect, and as a community leader in the profession, I believe that there's an opportunity for architects to branch beyond traditional design, beyond traditional architecture as a building designer, and use the tools that were taught in architecture school, including the license, to give us the credibility and the knowledge that we get with licensure to impact the rest of the world in many different ways other than the built environment. And I would love to see some of that information find its way into future reports.
It's a good point. And I think I might paraphrase you, but in our modern system, that design think mentality and the sort of core sort of skill set that an architect has, whether it be, you know, critique or the iterations or, you know, collaborations with others, that has, I think, application in many different fields. So yes, I think that's, if you think about architecture in its very core sense of I'm a licensed practitioner and I design buildings and oversee their construction, then there's a a train of thought that says, oh, we're going to lose people to other professions, other career paths. It's an interesting conversation. Like, did we lose them or did architects plug in and help contribute to a bigger, more sort of complex ecosystem?
Right. I mean, if the goal of the profession is to impact the world in a very positive way, yes, we do that through designing buildings, but it also can be extended beyond just buildings to use the knowledge that we have through our education and our licensing to impact the world in a bigger way. And from my point of view, it's necessary, right? Because if we don't, other industries and other professionals will gladly step into those voids and do those things instead of architects. So it'll be interesting to see the future of architecture in the profession and to see where NCARB evolves to track that information and to how the organization evolves with it.
And I think there's a intention within our organization to evolve. I'll absolutely say that. We've been talking about an initiative called Pathways to Practice, which is basically us re-envisioning, re-engineering the actual path to licensure. And that's almost not even generational conversation. It's like, it's been 100 years and it's been like this. And now we're saying, is that fit for purpose going forward?
That's a perfect example, Andy. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big focus for us. And you're right. I think that the driver for that is, are we future-proofing ourselves? And are we equipping the profession to be ready for the future as well?
Right. How has NCARB evolved in terms of your role as communicator and marketing VP to reach those demographics that aren't traditionally reached, and the younger generations, the educators, small firms, large firms? How has NCARB and your role evolved, and how will it evolve in the future?
I think I would say incrementally is the word that leaps to mind.
Sure.
I mentioned at the start of our conversation that we have a team of 10 and awesome colleagues who really do great work. And something like, if I think about our social media presence, for example, something that, you know, goes from sort of experimental, we're trying this, and then you set into a rhythm where you really start to understand, and then you look at incremental gains and making sure that you understand your rhythms, you understand what resonates with different groups, what works where. So there's been an evolution, I think, in terms of what we do. I don't think it's necessarily been dramatic. I mean, the podcast, for example, is us, an example of us saying, hey, here's a communications channel that we've not really experimented in. Let's step into that. Let's see if there's an audience. On principle, we want to meet people where they are, right? And if you like your information in this format, we would like to provide it in that format. And I think the other sort of bigger change is really actually around data and research. So I really appreciate the fact that we are very connected and plugged into our data and research function. So, for example, on a personal level, I oversaw our practice analysis of practice study. One of my colleagues has recently been working with the National Organization of Minority Architects on a project called Based on Belonging, evolved to Building on Belonging, which is a collaboration and partnership with NOMA that really looks at the experiences on the path to licensure for underrepresented demographic groups. And that kind of thing is really helpful for us in terms of informing the narrative so that we're not necessarily just a communication vehicle on the back end of a decision, but we're plugged in and contributing to the big picture conversation and like, where are we trying to go? What data do we want to inform our strategy? And that's something I don't think every marketing individual has out there, but something I certainly appreciate that we plug in well and early in the conversations within our organization.
The profession is changing rapidly. NCARB's changing rapidly with it. We see the changes in technology. We see the changes in demographics. The profession is changing every day. It's fascinating to be an architect for the last several decades and see many of those changes happening. When I started practicing, it was the last generation of drafting boards. I was the first generation of computers. And so I've seen lots of changes over the years in the profession, both in the way we practice and how practice is communicated out to the world. And it's a fascinating time to be alive, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up, Andy, I'd love to get your take on my final question that I ask all my guests. You are speaking to thousands of architects. Most are small firm architects. Entre Architect talks primarily to small firms. Most of them are business owners. What would you say is one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Well, I will caveat my answer in the fact that NCARB, you know, we acknowledge that it's not our function necessarily to advance the profession from a business perspective. Our mandate is really about public health, safety, and welfare protection. But that said, one of the parts of my role is supporting our Futures Collaborative, which is a volunteer group that's hugely interesting, one of the favorite parts of my role. And actually, where I'm down in the southern states at the moment for a meeting with that group the next couple of days, is looking at the future, looking at trends. And we ask ourselves the question, how might that impact licensure? What might the regulator, what might change have the impact on the regulatory system? But I think, like everybody, the conversation around AI has been something that we've been exploring and have been exploring for a number of years. So I think that one thing would be, if you're a small business owner, I think it's easy to be intimidated by AI and think it's a big firm thing and it's not something that's going to be tangible to me or something that I'm going to have anytime soon in terms of practical application. And I think there's going to be a number of, shall we say, off-the-shelf accessible products that people should be willing to explore and go out there and say, hey, let's just explore it. Like, a terrible analogy, but like, we're doing a podcast series because it's like, no harm, no foul. Try it.
Right.
Go and play with it. See what it can do for you. See if you have reticence, go and try and test that reticence and see if it stands up when you find something and see if it actually could be hugely helpful. And then from a more of an NCARB perspective, we are about helping the next generation. One of the things small firms have is an ability to give the next generation of candidates a holistic view on practice.
Yes.
If you're in a big firm, sometimes certain aspects of that experience can be elusive. You can get pigeonholed. But small firms tend to be full spectrum from concept through to delivery and site inspection, everything. So value that, lean in, support the next generation. Make sure you've got a good succession plan if you're in that sort of, I'm 55 and over, third of the practice. Because I do think that that's something that people are going to have a challenge with is, are we making sure the next generation are ready to take the reins and line your successors up early?
His name is Andy McIntyre. NCARB by the numbers is the name of the report. You can learn more at ncarb.org/NBTN. So NCARB by the numbers, NBTN. The podcast is called Inside NCARB by the Numbers, and you can search your podcast player, whatever podcast player you're using, go to the search function, type in Inside NCARB, and it will probably pop up. If not, you could just go to gablemedia.com/podcasts. That's gablemedia.com/podcasts. And NCARB by the numbers is right there. You just click it and listen to all the episodes that are coming out as we are recording. Andy, thank you for your work at NCARB. Like I mentioned earlier, I've seen the change in communications and marketing at NCARB. And so you and your team are doing a fantastic job. And I appreciate you from a professional who is being served by NCARB. I'm glad you're there. And thanks for coming by here and sharing your knowledge at Andre Architect Podcast.
Thank you for the invitation and thanks for the conversation. I enjoyed it. Thanks, Mark.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entre Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.
Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.